Mark 7, the danger of indoctrination. Indoctrination is a dangerous thing. Indoctrination is what says to you that isn't right. Indoctrination is what you were taught and not what was revealed. Let me help you. Most of what we know in the realm of Christian understanding was taught to us and handed down by man and not revealed by the Spirit. When you hear something preached and something in you goes, that don't sound right, what is it telling you that? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it indoctrination? When I was in Australia, there's a young man hungry for the things of God. And he listened to every word that was preached in the midst of some of the leaders, not all of them, some of the leaders raising up a faction against what was being preached. He sat there and he met with me afterwards and he said, I hear you say something and this voice in me would go, that don't sound right. And he said, I began to ask myself, what voice is telling me it don't sound right? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it the voice of those who taught me? Is it the voice of my safety net of religion? Is it the voice of my comfort zone that allows me not to have to walk in the divine nature, but just live a conscious, free life and go to heaven? Doctrine is dangerous because it removes the demand on the divine nature of God in man. There's only two men in the earth, beloved, and I'm going to get into detail about that before I go to Mark. Can I preach to you today? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the first man, Adam. Every one of us is an extension of the corporate man, Adam. If you grow a tomato today, it is the extension of the first tomato. Are you here? I'm going to help you understand the divine nature because God told me I'm going to empower you now to take them to the level where you start to... Some people say, when are we going to see the manifestations of this divine nature? After we declare it, because manifestation follows declaration. You've got to speak something before it's created. Let me help you. Adam was the first corporate man, the earthly man, the limited man, the natural man. When he was by himself, he could not reproduce himself. So God took his rib out and he made an extension of him and everything he multiplied, because there was no multiplication of Adam until after the fall. Adam was not multiplied previous to the fall. So the multiplication of Adam was a simple Adam, one Adam, many members. You can read it in 1 Corinthians. I'll show you in a minute. So there's one Adam, the first man, earthly, limited, obsessed with himself, obsessed, his mind full of himself, his mind full of caring for himself, his mind full of doing for himself. So you and I sitting here, we are not, God quit creating on the sixth day. Get 10 pounds worth of dirt and you plant one seed in that dirt, you can grow 20 pounds of tomatoes in 10 pounds of dirt. Where did those 20 pounds of tomatoes come from? It's the miracle of life, the multiplication and extension of one seed to 20 pounds more than the dirt itself that pushed it out. Oh, come on here. Where did those 20 pounds of tomatoes come from? It sure didn't come from 10 pounds of dirt, because there's still 10 pounds of dirt in there. It come from the seed. that was little that had life in it. And so the earthly man come from one man, Adam. We have this independent nature idea that says we're all this little individual creation, unique, that God formed each one of us. But that's not true. We are a multiplied replica of the one man, the first man. The first man is earthly. But the last man, Christ, is heavenly. Adam is the dirt that God needed to put his seed into. The earth man that would not reproduce dirt. Dirt doesn't reproduce dirt. The seed in the dirt reproduces itself. So unless a grain of corn fall to the ground and die, it cannot multiply. So God needed an earth man to put his heavenly seed into. Dirt needs dirt to be dirt. To keep this earth body alive, you've got to eat dirt. He formed man from the dust of the earth, Adam being the earthly man. When we are born out of our mother's womb, we are earth. The earth is waiting for a seed, because the earth needs a seed, because if the earth doesn't have a seed, that's why there's no life on Mars. That's why there's no life on Venus. They can look till the cows come home. God put his life in the earth. That's why all this worry about these flying saucers and spacemen is a bunch of garbage. Demonic fantasies and hypnotism have nothing to do with the nature of God. So earth needs a seed, but guess what? The seed needs some dirt. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is when the seed fell to the earth and died. He was the firstborn of 20 pounds of tomatoes and 10 pounds of dirt. Is anybody being awakened this morning? The heavenly man, unlimited, eternal, has to be born out of the earthly man. That's why God did what he did. That's why there had to be the fall of man. The fall of man did not shock God. That's the only way he could come and put his seed in the earth. We've been taught in Sunday school, oh, if Adam just hadn't have fallen. When Adam fell, God himself was dancing. Now I can go and put my life in the earth. Had Jesus married a virgin woman as an earth man, listen to me, he would have just reproduced it some more dirt. But the seed of God went into the earth of Mary and created an eternal priesthood. Are you here? And so the earth man is shut off from the revelation of God. The carnal mind is at war with God, because the mind set on the flesh is at war with the Spirit. In other words, the way we think in a process, if you take the numbers out of the Bible, if you take the chapter and the subverses and you just start reading the Bible without man's application to all the subtitles, then you are fully dependent upon. See, we have been, listen to me, this is the inherent sovereign life of God, the Bible. It's the Word of God. But see, we have attempted to know the Bible with a carnal mind. And so the seed of life, that's why Jesus told the Pharisees, You search the scriptures for salvation, but you're dead. Because there's no life in you. Because life is in the seed. Are you there? Life is in the seed. Tell somebody next to you, life is in the seed. 10 pounds of dirt, 20 pounds of tomatoes. Because in that one seed of life, there are many sons. Hebrews says he's bringing many sons to glory. We have no problem accepting the Adamic nature. If we walk around and say, I'm a human, nobody gets upset. Because this terminology, this fear of terminology, which is produced by a limited mind, has everybody upside down. I mean, I walk up to any stranger on the street and go, hey, I want to tell you something very exciting. I'm a human. They don't go, how dare you claim to be one with Adam? Who do you think you are identifying with who God created? Nobody gets upset. We claim humanity. We claim dirt. Because dirt always accepts dirt. But what happens when we come on the scene and we say, Christ, the seed that went in the dirt is now alive. Then the whole religious world goes upside down. Because they have identity with their dirt and not with the seed. Come on here. Get on up in here. Get on up in here with me. Get on in here. We got to get rid of the dirt identity. Christ, the hope of glory in you, the seed in your dirt, growing into 20 pounds and just 10 pounds. These things and greater will you do in my name, because my seed is overtaking your dirt. It's an identity crisis. We walk around, I'm a human. I'm a Homo sapien. But then we're born of the Spirit, the seed of God Himself. God Himself. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. God Himself come and planted Himself in His own creation to bring 20 pounds, 50 pounds, 130 pounds of God into dirt. First man, earthly, limited. The second man, eternal. So the limitedness, nobody gets upset. I'm just a man. But begin to say, I'm more than a man. That's why Jesus had no problem saying, Philip came to him, he said, show us the Father. He said, Philip, I've been with you. He said, what? He said, show us the Father. He said, the earth, the angels never saw God until he was made manifest in Bethlehem. Because spirit calls unto spirit. The angels couldn't even see him. He was a spirit, but then they saw that baby. Why do you think they rejoiced? They saw God manifested. And the earth is now seeing Christ manifested. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God is the head of Christ, because Christ come out of God, multiplied as a seed. Christ is the head of man. In the same way, Christ is out of God, man is out of Christ. And there is no delusion of the divine nature as he comes forth. dirt recognizes dirt. Spirit recognizes spirit. For we no longer recognize any man after the flesh, but we know all men after the spirit. Are you all with me here? The thing in you that wants to be addicted is dirt, craving dirt. The thing in you that wants to be profane is dirt, calling unto dirt. But I got news for you. Once a seed has fallen to the ground and died, it begins to explode with life. But it must be watered and have light and cared for. And our tongue, the Bible says, death and life is in our tongue. That means if I don't declare life of Christ with my tongue, I can't have the life of Christ. What's this big to-do over terminology? Oh, we're saying the same thing if we say we're in Christ. No, we're not saying the same thing, because you're using a terminology that makes your dirt feel safe. Oh, he came and we are ambassadors, we are representatives, but I'm not going to step across the line and say I'm the multiplied fruit of Christ himself. Because dirt needs a safety net. It needs gravity to hold it together. It needs gravity to hold it together, but spirit is not held together by anything other than the revelation of God himself. Spirit, that which is spirit. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is flesh, that which is spirit, the two don't mix. They tolerate one another for the purpose of growing. But honey, you know when you get that tomato, you wash the dirt off of it. The problem with the church is we've been trying to clean up dirt rather than be born into the Spirit. You're not going to clean dirt by washing dirt, because dirt stays dirt no matter how much water you put on it. But you put the water of the Spirit on the Spirit, you get a multiplied fruit of God. You can't clean dirt up. You got to change natures. Your dirt has to become the tomato. The life in the seed has to pull and create a new life. See, he called us to glory. We did not receive the Holy Spirit that dirt could heal. We did not receive the Holy Spirit that dirt could raise the dead. We did not receive the Holy Spirit that dirt could get a prophecy or a word of knowledge or revelation. We received the Holy Spirit that we may have the power to become sons of the living God. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about empowering dirt. It's about changing natures into a Christ-like creation. For though if you are one with Christ, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The power of the Spirit is to birth us into sonship, not to empower dirt. We need a transmutation, a transfiguration. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind by the word of God, that your dirt may become tomato. Because once you become a tomato, you have the power to multiply yourself. Dirt can't multiply itself. Because in the tomato are more seeds for more tomatoes. Are you here today? Do you know inside of you, once you've been born of the Spirit and you receive power to become the sons of God, that you have the power to multiply? You are no longer dirt growing seeds, but your seed growing in dirt. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news. The good news is I'm not a wretched, blind, naked human anymore that's trying to receive a seed. I am a seed that has now been birthed by a seed. This changes everything. You still want to observe all the feasts? Go ahead, dirt. I'm what you're celebrating. You still want to honor certain days as the Sabbath? Go ahead. I'm the Sabbath you're celebrating. I don't need rest. I've become His rest. I don't need peace. I become His peace. For if He's the Prince of Peace and I am birthed of Him, I am peace. Hello, somebody touch somebody and say, you just pile of tomatoes, you. You big tomato. You know the amazing thing about children, when they're little, they want to eat dirt. Have you ever gone out there and they're in a playground and their mouth is all full of dirt? That's their natural, that's a thing. They want to identify with dirt. But then we bring the traditions of men, which is dirt. Revelation is spirit. Adam was a living soul, one controlled by his mind, his will, and his emotions. But the second man is a life-giving spirit, a multiplying force of unexplainable, undefinable, unlimited life. Changes everything. The problem with the church is we've tried to apply the life of God to dirt rather than let the seed of God birth Christ. That's what this whole thing's been about. Everybody's all up to do. Oh, that preacher comes to town and he says, we're Christ. Ah, blasphemy. Crucify him. Thank God for Mark Ramsey. Y'all need to pray for Mark Ramsey, who's the pastor of Center Point Church in Southern. You need to pray for this man, because this man stood before 4,000 people and told them two words, grow up. After 2 days of preaching the divine nature, they were flipping out over there. Because when you preach the divine nature, the demand of who you really are is put on you. You no longer have an excuse to walk as dirt. You must now become a life-giving spirit. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Maybe you are, but I'm not. I'm a life-giving spirit. An unlimited, unmeasurable, undefinable entity of creation. God Himself. And until you can say that about yourself, until we say that about ourselves, you know, when you read in Galatians, the third chapter, it says that Abraham's seed, not seeds, seed, one seed. Every cow you see came from one cow. Every bird you see came from one bird of it, because it reproduces after its own kind. Be free from this idea that God molded you on some little template up there. That, oh, He took Paul and He shaped out Paul. No, Paul come from Adam. But once Adam was exposed to the Spirit, Paul became Shadrabasoka. Paul became Shambrahika Lemungahandea. Who is this? When Saul was dirt, he was wanting to kill the unlimited nothing of Christianity. But in one day, falling off one horse, this man became obsessed. He went from being Saul of Tarsus to being Paul. Shadrabasika. Kukulumandeanda tangenkianda. That's why dirt says tongues aren't for today. Because I got news for you, tongues aren't for today. Tongues are for eternity. Tongues were before earth and tongues are after earth. That's why they say miracles aren't for today, because they're right. Miracles are for now, not today. Is there anybody here being awakened? Do I have any holy tomatoes in the room? Are you at Mark? Now you're going to understand what I'm about to read to you. Broncos are 1 hour into it. You can catch the second half if you're lucky. Mark 7:1. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered together around him when they had come from Jerusalem, and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with their impure hands, that is, unwashed. Dirt. Worried about dirt. While Paul was out preaching the good news that eternal life is for all men, the council of Jerusalem were trying to figure out what Paul was doing. In other words, dirt figures out what spirit is doing. Because dirt cannot comprehend what spirit is doing. Cannot be contained. Spiritual words, spiritual thoughts. Paul said, I did not come in human wisdom, but in power and demonstration. I came with spiritual words and spiritual thoughts. Read 2 Corinthians to see it. And had seen some of his disciples were eating the bread with for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their dirt. In other words, they will not receive manna or meat unless they feel good about their dirt. I got to help you here. Unless they carefully wash their hands, observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse their dirt. That's why Paul said in Colossians, he says, judge no man in his worship. And he went back to Galatians, he said, why are you going back? Who's practiced witchcraft on you? Given your identity of dirt back to you. Witchcraft comes from Nimrod, the original witch who created religion from the earth. The original Babylon made little images from earth. But Abraham, a type of the second man, the last man. Nimrod, the first man, earthly, demonic. Abraham, the Christ, saw the unlimited, a city whose builder and maker was God. And it was counted righteousness unto him because he believed in the unlimited. Miracles are just the very way of God. Why don't we have miracles? Because you can't do miracles with dirt. Dirt is limited. And so these boys are focused on eating and washing and days and feasts. And that was necessary to be a foreknowledge, but these guys could not make the transition from dirt to spirit. And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? And he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines and precepts of men. That don't sound right. Who told you that? A revelation from the Spirit. God is a God of perplexity. He puts perplexity before man to drive man to a spiritual birthing. But I don't understand, brother. You got to explain it. I can't explain something that's unexplainable. You've got to explain the scriptures. No, I've got to reveal the scriptures. It's that dirt that is fearful and demonically driven with a control spirit that resists the unlimitedness and the revelation of God. I'm about done here. Neglecting the commandment of God. See, doctrines and precepts of men will cause us to neglect the commandment of God. What is the commandment of God? Is it the Ten Commandments? Jesus said, I give you two new commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Neglecting relationship and oneness in order to keep rules and regulations that satisfy the dirt. Your dirt wants to perform. Your dirt wants to be recognized. Your dirt wants to be secure. Your dirt wants to be affirmed. Your dirt wants to be undergirded with a promise there's no test tomorrow. Your dirt wants to be isolated. Your dirt wants to be insulated from anything that exposes the fact that it's dirt. And when you put a seed in dirt, the life that comes out of the dirt takes preeminent recognition and glory over the dirt itself. Awaken. Lest a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it cannot produce. See, one man, Adam, limited. The second man, Christ, unlimited. Born of God. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. Now, I'm going to say a few things that's going to challenge dirt. Matthew Henry is not the Holy Ghost. Schofield is not the Holy Ghost. King James is not the Holy Ghost. Vines is not the Holy Ghost. They have a limited idea, but they are not the Holy Ghost. And most of the battles we face in revealing the divine nature are those who are taught by the traditions and perceptions of men. Precept means to perceive or have a perception of. A rule or principle prescribing a particular course of action or conduct. An authorized direction or order. Let me tell you something. God is not authorized by man. There is no authorized order with God. Because he's a life-giving spirit. This is the beginning of you understanding where we're about to go. We need an obsession that is divine. Say divine obsession. See, you were created to be obsessed. Whether you realize it or not, you're obsessed with something. Every person in this room is obsessed with something. The question is, what are you obsessed with? Hello? Obsession means a complete domination of the mind by one idea. Either earthly or heavenly. Either limited or unlimited. Abraham was obsessed with a country and city that had not yet been seen, but it drove him to obedience that produced miracles. Holy Ghost was not even poured out yet. Do you know that there were people raised from the dead before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Do you know miracles have... The purpose of the Holy Spirit, we think, is to work miracles. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to birth sons of God. Some of you didn't get that. The day is coming when the believers... Can I tell you something? This is going to make some of you unhappy because it's going to invalidate your manifestation. We're going to be like Peter. We ain't going to be shaking and trembling all the time. When people come into contact with us, they're going to be shaking and trembling. When Jesus walked on the earth, was he... Everything he come into contact did that. Now, I'm not telling you not to praise God or enjoy the Spirit. But as we accept our tomato nature. See, we have any electricians in the house? Anybody who works with electricity? Lift your hand if you work with electricity. What happens is an electrician, I change those plates on my house. If I don't shut off electricity and that thing hits me, man... But an electrician can get zapped and you never know it because he's accustomed to the power. The power is a part of his life. A lot of this shaking and quaking we see is people who think they're validated as spiritual by doing something. Am I saying, look, you've seen me today do it. Hey, because there's a new level I've not experienced that's hitting me. I'm not saying don't do it. Just recognize the day is coming that you're going to find yourself walking in a stability, looking beyond the dirt of everything. Wow. And you'll walk by people and right behind you, you won't even see it. The bones will snap into place. Eyes will open. Wow, you'll hear a scream behind you. It'll be because eyes have opened up just because your nature passed by them. We won't need all this. Ha, ha, whoa, ha. I mean, the church needs that now because it's getting accustomed to the power. But once we get through being accustomed to the power, then we can start to distribute the power when we're not taking the power onto ourselves so that we know we have the Spirit and we start releasing the power. Then we'll watch the whole generation shake and quake with the life of God. Now, I'm not telling you not to shake and quake. Take all the power you can in. But your next step is to release the power. Once you become accustomed to the power as your nature. Hello? Moses was obsessed, born of Hebrew parents, raised in the house of Pharaoh. He didn't let money and power fill his mind. He was obsessed with the deliverance of his own people. He had a divine obsession that the house of Pharaoh could not contaminate. Or can I go on for a minute? The Apostle Paul had an obsession to kill, persecute Christians until he got a new obsession. His mind was then filled with the good news of God. And the ultimate man, Christ, he spent his time on earth obsessed with revealing the Father. That should be our obsession. To reveal Christ. Are you here? What is your obsession? Luke 8:10 says, and he said to you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. The strongholds are in our mind. Our mind must be filled with the obsession of the nature of the Father. Is your mind filled with an obsession of the nature of the Father or with dirt? Whatever it is, you cannot give up. Is the thing that is holding you in the dirt state. Let me tell you how the enemy works. He gets you to exchange the God thing for the good thing. He doesn't come with horns and a pointed tail to say, "I'm the devil. Take drugs." He comes saying, "Here's a good thing. Here's a good thing you need to do. Because if I can get you to do this good thing, I can pull you away from revelation of God. You're not being held back by addictions and fornications. You're being held by good things that satisfy the dirt." Truth. Yes, there is such a thing as addiction and all that. That's the fruit of pursuing good things. The diluting of the meaning of words are the strongholds that keep us from the divine nature. Our culture has redefined words to accommodate our dirt. Gay is no longer happy. Homosexuality is no longer perversion. Now perversion is gay. Our president doesn't have an adulterous lifestyle. He has an addiction. Now adultery is an addiction. To accommodate dirt. Is everybody here? That's why I refuse to say anything else than I am Christ. Because till I declare it, the demand on the nature of Christ, of which I am a part with you, will never be made manifest. That word "in," if any man be in Christ, has anybody looked up the word "in"? See, a delusion of terminology lets us stay separate so our poor little dirt body can have an excuse for not walking holy. Some of y'all didn't hear what I said. As long as you say "in Christ" is, well, do you know the word baptismo? If you sink a ship, it's baptismo. It's surrounded with water inside and out. If you are baptized into Christ, Paul said, then you have clothed yourself with him. If you've clothed yourself with him and been baptized into him, you are intermingled with him. He told his disciples, "Lest you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in me." 70 walked because he would not compromise his terminology. He said, "Let tear down this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise this temple." And they reasoned in their minds. He didn't say, "Well, now let me explain to you. I'm referring to my body." He said what the Spirit was saying with no explanation. So those that it was given to know the mysteries could hear the mysteries. Well, Brother Paul, why don't you go into detail? Because it's not spiritual to go into detail. It's spiritual to bring clarification, but it's not spiritual to explain to dirt what God is. It's dirt's job to grow the seed of God. Hello? Murder is no longer murder, it's now a choice. And the church has accepted it. The church has used its own definition of itself in a diluted form so it won't offend the Pharisees, who like to wash and who like to eat certain meals on certain days. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. Abortion is a nice word for murder. So we dilute it in our social realm. So now we dilute down everything the Bible says. Because God forbid that we would claim to be equal or one. Before David defeated the giant, he told him what he was going to do to him. This day, I will take your head off with your sword. Picked up some stones, unlimited unlimited power in a stone. That sword and that big giant had limit. That was dirt against. Mind of the giant. Right to the mind of the limited. I gotta preach you. This is better. It's only halftime now for the Broncos, so you don't want to watch that anyway. Sex outside of marriage is no longer fornication. It's an alternative lifestyle with a significant other. Dilution of terms so that dirt doesn't get uncomfortable. But what's sad, let that to the dirt. What about us? Those who have been baptized into Christ are clothed with Christ. We are one with Him. And until we declare it, we'll never put a demand on that nature to come forth. The church is no different. We have attempted to make heaven earthly and make earth heavenly. We need to make earth heavenly. I want to say that again. We've attempted to make heaven earthly. Oh, we see these gold streets and these mansions. Get away from that goofiness. Do you really think there's a gold street in heaven? Gold is a deified path. A typology of the reality of what we already have. Do you really think you have a special blueprint? Some house up there? The only reason most of you want to go to heaven is because you don't like living in... No, I ain't gonna say it. This whole rapture thing that I'll get into in the weeks ahead, it's trying to make heaven earthly rather than make earth heavenly. That's a word from the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is within you, honey. Heaven's already here. The question is, have you opened up your window to let it shine? We try to put an earthly definition to heaven rather than bring a heavenly definition to earth. That just solved most of your problems right there. Well, my aunts and uncles are waiting for me at the pearly gates. Where did you read that garbage at? You know what that is? That's a precept and a doctrine of men who were too insecure to step outside of their dirt nature and find out what God is saying. And that's the best definition of dirt they could give you, is that there's a whole family reunion waiting at some pearly gates with a little banner, welcome home. The Bible says He is coming with the saints and with His reward in His hand to meet us in the air, the earthly atmosphere. Escapism. My God, I'm going to have to manifest the nature of heaven on the earth. It's a lot easier to say, I'm going to go to heaven, rather than say, I'm manifesting heaven now. I'm not setting up a kingdom for Him. He's going to come up and set His own kingdom up. I am a forerunner. I am paving the way like John the Baptist paved the way for Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. We are paving a way. We are preparing the way of heaven and the earth. When He comes, the government will be on His shoulders, honey. I could give a rat's rump what democracies or communism does in this earth. In fact, I got some sad news for the church. Christianity is flourishing where communism is ruling. Now, you didn't like that. Your dirt didn't like that. The only way the church is going to become the church is when these political and economic sins systems start crumbling before our eyes, and we'll be forced to manifest the divine nature of God. We pray for it. God, do whatever you have to do that the divine nature of your people would come forth. Hey! Now listen. Is the kingdom of heaven in us, or is it someplace else?